This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good Tuesday morning. We've made it to September 1st, 2026. That doesn't mean it's going to be cooling down anytime soon, though. It's already 79 degrees outside under clear, sunny skies at 7:06. We'll see a high temperature today reaching 100 degrees. We do have a lot we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in. An Edmond couple is facing charges accused of killing a little girl. What police are saying about the investigation? A Sand Springs man is facing murder charges this morning after his marijuana business explodes, killing two people. What led to that deadly blast? An Oklahoma wildlife officer is killed trying to evacuate people from wildfires. More on his heroic actions coming up. It's a two-way Tuesday here on Freedom 96.9. Don Spencer will be joining us from the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association to talk about the latest gun grabs you could be facing. Oklahoma could soon have nuclear reactors. We want your reaction at 405-608-4377. But first, your Freedom First News on Freedom 96.9. An Edmond couple is facing murder and child abuse charges following the death of a two-year-old girl. Police say the girl was found unresponsive August 15th. Doctors discovered severe brain swelling and bleeding along with numerous other injuries, including retinal bleeding and possible fractures. She died 3 days later. Investigators say her mother, 22-year-old Zeria Walker, had previously taken the girl to the hospital for her injuries. Her boyfriend, 26-year-old Joseph Shlebinowski, was alone with the child when she stopped breathing. A 5-year-old witness told investigators Shlebinowski had beaten the children and put the toddler's fingers in soup. Shlebinowski is facing first-degree murder and child abuse charges. Walker faces second-degree murder and enabling child abuse. A 35-year-old man is facing two first-degree murder charges following a deadly explosion at a marijuana extraction business in Sand Springs. The blast at Solo's Extracts happened on August 27th, killing Michael Newman and Stephen Scott and damaging dozens of nearby businesses. OSBI says Ryan Basham was in the process of taking over the business but did not have the required marijuana or narcotics licenses. Investigators also say that a neighboring business had warned Basham about the dangerously high carbon dioxide levels 2 months before the explosion. Basham turned himself in and was released on $200,000 bond. A federal wildlife officer is dead after helping evacuate residents threatened by the Railroad South fire in Comanche County. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says 38-year-old David Taylor died on August 29th while going door-to-door with local emergency crews. His last contact with dispatch came while helping a family escape their home. Evidence recovered from the structure indicates Taylor died during the evacuation, though formal identification is still pending. Taylor was also a Navy Reserve Senior Chief Petty Officer and had previously served 5 deployments, including tours in Iraq. Officials are praising Taylor for his courage and selflessness in protecting other people. About 50 people are displaced after a suspicious fire damaged 46 apartments in northwest Oklahoma City. Firefighters were called to the complex on Melrose Lane just after 12:30 Sunday afternoon, where flames had already spread through 2 buildings and were moving to a third. 2 residents were rescued and 2 others were helped out as firefighters evacuated the entire complex. The heat reached 102 degrees that day as crews battled the blaze, which became so intense one building began to collapse. 30 of the damaged units were occupied. The Red Cross is helping displaced residents while investigators work to determine how that fire started. Oklahoma is now one of 5 finalists to become a major hub for the nation's nuclear power expansion. Governor Gavin Stitt's administration pitched the state as a potential site for a new nuclear facility, highlighting its energy workforce, transportation network, and deep drilling expertise. But the proposal also includes plans to process or bury nuclear waste, including waste chipped in from outside of Oklahoma. State officials call it a potential $50 billion economic opportunity, but opponents warn communities could fiercely resist becoming a destination for radioactive waste. Federal officials visited Oklahoma last month, and a decision on the winning sites could come in the next few months. So let's talk a little bit about that one. I want to hear from you at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Are you concerned about having nukes here in Oklahoma? What about the nuclear waste that comes with it? Are we able to bury it properly? Are we able to dispose of it? What about bringing nuclear waste in from other states? Are you concerned about transporting from one state to another that level of nuclear waste? Tell you what, I'm not worried about it. This ain't your daddy's nuclear facility. We shouldn't be making energy policy based solely on what scared us 40 or 50 years ago. Nuclear technology has changed dramatically over the past five decades. If Oklahoma can build a nuclear industry with modern safety standards, responsible waste management, proper oversight, we're talking about very reliable electricity, thousands and thousands of very high-paying jobs, and potentially tens of billions of dollars in investment. So we're going to see a whole lot more people making a whole lot more money. We're going to see a dramatic decrease in our property taxes, and we're going to see lower power rates. To me, it's a win-win. The question shouldn't be, are we afraid of nuclear power? It should be, can Oklahoma do nuclear power in a safe way, and can we do it better than everybody else? Well, so far we've proven we can do that with oil. Why can't we do it with nuclear? We're also doing pretty well with wind and doing pretty well with solar. So clearly we understand power here in Oklahoma. Clearly we understand drilling, and we understand that putting this nuclear waste into very, very deep holes, then covering it up with billions of tons of rock where it's going to lay dormant for the rest of eternity, we're okay with that as far as I'm concerned. Nuclear power today is not the same nuclear power that we had in the past. The stuff that we saw back in the 1970s and 80s, the Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, that kind of a thing, those days are past. Reactor technology, safety systems, monitoring, emergency procedures and protocols, all of those have advanced dramatically over the past four or five decades. The industry has learned from Three Mile Island. They've learned from Chernobyl. They've learned from, what was the other one? Fukushima. They've learned from these disasters, and we're better because of it. The safety record is oftentimes misunderstood. Nuclear plants, they operate under some of the most stringent safety and regulatory requirements in the entire country. So modern reactors, they're designed with multiple layers of protection. In some designs, they have passive safety systems that can work even without human intervention or outside power. So you don't have to worry about Homer Simpson operating one of these things. Largely, they operate themselves. They use very, very little power. They operate 24 hours per day, and they generate electricity 24 hours a day. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the conversation. 405-608-4377. The reality is, as we move into the future, Oklahoma needs more reliable electricity. Data centers, artificial intelligence, manufacturing, all these are driving electricity demand dramatically higher than we've ever seen in the history of the state and of the nation. The state needs power that can operate around the clock, not just when the wind is blowing or when the sun is shining. Despite being a big backer of oil, we live in Oklahoma, you gotta love oil, drill baby drill. It's also important, in my opinion, that we have wind, we have solar, we have nuclear, we have other alternatives to fossil fuels, because the reality is eventually we're going to run out of these fossil fuels. It's not going to be in our lifetime, but it might be in your grandchildren's or your great-grandchildren's lifetime. Eventually it's going to happen. And the more that we can preserve this and use other sources of reliable energy, the better it is for us, not just economically, but also in terms of national security. Power powers everything. Nuclear produces enormous amounts of electricity with virtually no carbon emissions during operation. That makes it a very attractive way to meet the growing demand without relying entirely upon the fossil fuels that we're currently relying on. The economic opportunities here are enormous. State officials estimate the potential investment of around $50 billion. That's a number that most of us can't even comprehend. That'll mean construction jobs. That'll mean permanent, high-paying technical jobs. It'll mean increased tax revenue. It'll mean potentially an entirely new nuclear energy industry for Oklahoma. Oklahoma's already got some huge advantages over other states. The state has decades of experience in energy production, drilling, engineering, managing complex industrial projects. Those are skills that translate well into the nuclear industry. 79 degrees outside right now and clear at 716. If you want to be part of the conversation, definitely want to hear from you. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. What we're talking about is Oklahoma is now on the short list of states to be considered for new nuclear facilities. Personally, I'm all for it. People have said, you don't want to see it in your backyard. I say I'm going to open up the back gate for them, let them in, and pour them a cup of lemonade. I would love to see a nuclear facility here in Oklahoma. The only thing that I'd love to see more is multiple nuclear facilities here in Oklahoma. I'm not worried about a great big mushroom cloud. I'm not worried about exposure to nuclear waste. What I'm worried about is giving this opportunity to other states and letting them reap the benefits that we should be benefiting. The waste issue shouldn't automatically kill the proposal. Nuclear waste is something, obviously, that has to be handled responsibly. It's not an invisible problem, but it can be contained. It can be monitored. It can be managed. The question should be whether Oklahoma can do it in a safe way and not whether the word radioactive sounds frightening to us. And we panic as a result. Panic never led to anything. In fact, with Oklahoma's drilling expertise, that could be part of the solution. The state is proposing to use deep geological formations for long-term waste management. If geology is proven to be suitable and the process is properly regulated, that could turn one of nuclear power's biggest challenges into something that Oklahoma specializes in. There should be no blank check. Supporting nuclear power doesn't mean supporting every single proposal. Oklahoma needs to demand independent geological studies. There have to be rigorous environmental reviews. There has to be strong emergency planning and guarantees that taxpayers and Oklahomans aren't left holding the bag should something go wrong. But the bigger question is whether Oklahoma wants to lead or whether we want to follow. If America's entering a new nuclear renaissance, Oklahoma now has a unique opportunity to become a major player instead of watching other states capture the investment in jobs. So remember that great big massive water leak in El Reno that we talked about last week that led to the closure of schools and a drop in water pressure that could have been very dangerous for fighting fires, especially as we're in the midst of this drought? Well, it turns out an illegal data center is to blame for that, and the key here is illegal. Let's talk about that coming up after the break. It's 79 degrees and sunny at 718. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic. Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic. Got a couple of construction issues to watch out for. Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly. May and Northwest Expressway. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen. Buckle up and drive careful.
The best way to stay up to date on the issues that impact your life is to listen to the new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com. Mornings, at noon, and on the way home from work. Oklahoma's Talk Radio.
Hey, y'all, it's Austin from Cops Gun Shop. For 92 years, they made you beg. Fingerprints, photographs, Form 4s, tax stamps, waiting. That ends now. If you're a Gun Owners of America member or Silencer Shop customer, suppressors now transfer on a simple 4473 background check. Same as any other firearm. No Form 4, no ATF approval, no federal registry. Walk out the same day. And at Cops Gun Shop, we didn't wait. At 0001 hours on August 14th, 2026, Cops Gun Shop became the first dealer in the state of Oklahoma to transfer an unregistered suppressor on a 4473 background check form to Don Spencer, president of the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association. First in Oklahoma, done at Cops Gun Shop. While others were still figuring it out, we were already making history. Come get your suppressor today. If we don't have something in stock you're wanting, we will check availability and get it ordered for you. Cops Gun Shop is located at 416 Hudeberg Circle in Oklahoma City, and we are open to the public. We don't wait for permission. We took the right. Cops Gun Shop, first in Oklahoma, and we are still leading. Cops Gun Shop, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy or gal with a gun.
A message from Oklahoma Human Services. If you receive SNAP benefits, this message is for you. Life changes fast. If you've started a new job, moved, or had changes in your household, you are required to update your information as soon as possible. Keeping your case current helps avoid delays and keeps your benefits accurate. Update your SNAP case today at okdhslive.org. Don't wait. Stay up to date at okdhslive.org.
Red, White, and Boots. Mustang Western Days 2026, September 11th and 12th. With events and activities for all ages, kids can enjoy the Stampede Fun Run, Parade, Pet Show, Best Dressed Cowboy and Cowgirl Contest, Art Show, games and activities at Wild Horse Park. New this year, the Jelly Ball. Also, the Mustang Roundup Club IPRA Rodeo on both nights on the 11th and 12th, 8 o'clock. And more with the 5K Fun Run, Car Show, Chuck Wagon Roundup, Vendor Booth, Chili Cook-Off, plus live entertainment at Wild Horse Park. It's a weekend of good family entertainment. For more information, visit MustangWesternDays.com.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
But Iran and Oman will take part in a revenue-sharing agreement as part of an interim deal to reopen the control of the Strait of Hormuz. That's a non-starter. What are you even doing? Number one, Oman's supposed to be an ally of ours, and you'd worked out a toll-sharing, revenue-sharing agreement with this outlaw nation, Iran? I mean, that is subversive.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And a good Tuesday morning, September 1st, 2026. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Quick check on the weather. Hot and sunny today with a high of 100 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, low of 75. It'll be a nice night to sit outside. On Wednesday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 99 degrees. Then on Thursday, sunny and hot, high again, 99 degrees. 79 degrees under clear skies at 723. Well, Reno officials say a Bitcoin mining facility was operating illegally when a massive water leak wasted about 3 million gallons of water. The city says the facility was ordered to stop work back in 2023 because of code violations and missing permits, but officials believe construction continued and the operation eventually opened up without a certificate of occupancy. The leak could cost property owners around $32,000. Plus the city's response costs. Officials say they're still investigating what caused the leak, which may be connected to an unreported fire hydrant on the property. The city has issued a public nuisance notice with a hearing set for September 14th. So let's talk a little bit about this, and I certainly want you to weigh in on this one, too. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. A lot of people right now are singing, I told you so. These centers aren't safe. They're going to be using crazy amounts of water, leaving ratepayers on the hook. If anything, this story should reassure people about why safeguards matter. This wasn't a legitimate, fully permitted data center operating under normal oversight. The city says the facility was ordered to stop work, apparently continued doing it anyway. That's a failure of compliance and enforcement, not proof that properly regulated data centers are dangerous. So build them, inspect them, monitor them, hold the counties accountable when they break the rules, and then run to the bank and cash the great big check. What are your thoughts on it? I want to hear from you at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. The big issue here appears to be that the operation allegedly continued after the city issued a stop work order and without a certificate of occupancy. That's a permitting and enforcement issue. That's not necessarily a data center technology failure. That has nothing to do with legitimate technology centers wasting water and wasting resources. Permits and inspections exist exactly for this reason. Legitimate data centers go through building, electrical, fire, plumbing, all the other inspections before they can legally operate. Those safeguards are designed to catch problems before they become emergencies. Terry is on the line right now with us from Oklahoma City. Good morning, Terry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I just have one question. Did the city of El Reno not have a water meter?
You broke up on me just a little bit. Did they
water
not have
for the last, were they? for the stealing water for the last 3 years.
That's a great question. How do they go for this many years, and not just with a water meter, how did nobody notice that there's traffic going in and out of that place? How did nobody notice the level of electricity being used by an unoccupied building? How did nobody notice finished construction?
You can't get electrical service unless you have all your permits.
Right.
I mean, I'm confused about all this. Somebody had to know in the city area that, hey, we put a meter on this place, and they're paying the bill, or they're not paying the bill, or something.
I think you're spot on, brother, because there's no way. Again, they were told to stop construction, but now all of a sudden there's all these employees working there. There's all this equipment that's brought in. Nobody noticed this after all these years? Come on. Come on, yeah. Man. Thanks, Terry. I appreciate you calling in, brother. The lesson here should be enforce the rules, not don't build data centers. If a company ignores a stop work order and operates without required permits, the appropriate response is enforcement and accountability. And Terry brings up a great point. Why is it that nobody knew this thing was operating in the first place and shut the damn thing down? And hopefully we'll eventually get an answer on that one. But 3 million gallons of water lost is extremely serious. But it doesn't mean that every data center will have that problem. Properly permitted facilities have systems that are engineered, they're inspected, they're monitored. In many cases, these facilities have water systems that will reuse the same water over and over again. So it's one quick investment of a lot of water to keep all that equipment cool. And then after that, you don't have to worry about it. Water infrastructure should be reviewed as part of the approval process. In this particular case, it was not. Fire protection, that's another important safeguard. Legitimate facilities have to coordinate with local fire authorities, meet the applicable fire code requirements. An unreported hydrant is precisely the kind of issue that proper permitting is supposed to identify. But again, there weren't proper permits for this building. Cities have plenty of leverage over legitimate operators. So before a data center opens, for example, local governments can require these permits, inspections, utility approvals, fire protection plans, and compliance with building codes. And smart city leaders can also say, look, what you're building here is a huge facility. We understand you're going to be paying massive amounts of property tax, but here's the reality. You're also bringing in trucks. You may be bringing in trains. We're going to need to have some substantial infrastructure improvements to our roads, to our bridges, and we want you to pay for it. You're also going to be needing educated, talented people to work there. We want you to invest in our schools. And right now, these operators are so eager to move into a place like Oklahoma, the checkbook is open. And if we negotiate this properly, small communities especially stand to make a whole lot of money using or welcoming in these type of centers. So this actually demonstrates why the oversight matters, this case. The concern shouldn't be that data centers are dangerous. The concern should be what happens when somebody operates outside of the regulatory system. We still got a bunch we want to hit on this morning, too. We definitely want you to weigh in. An Edmond couple is facing murder and child abuse charges in the death of a 2-year-old girl. What investigators have uncovered? A Sand Springs man is facing 2 murder charges after an explosion at his marijuana business killed 2 people. What investigators believe led to that deadly blast? And it's a 2A Tuesday here on Freedom 96.9. Don Spencer from the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association is joining us live to talk about the threats to your freedoms. You're listening to Freedom's First News on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. President Trump says the U.S. will still smack Iran, even with the regime on the verge of collapse.
Their Navy is gone. Their Air Force is gone. Their surveillance equipment is almost entirely gone. That doesn't mean we won't smack them. We'll see what happens.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says more than 100 trucking schools are shuttered over fraud concerns. Federal officials prepare to expand voter fraud investigations in California and several other states starting next week. People with a pending immigration status and no criminal charges are still subject to ICE street arrest, especially in Florida and Texas. President Trump announced new drug pricing deals with nearly a dozen drug makers. Jury deliberations resume today in the Massachusetts triple murder trial of Lindsay Clancy. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute.
I'll never forget sitting with a mother whose 20-year-old daughter was hit by a drunk driver. Before the crash, her daughter was in college, healthy, funny, full of life, working. After the crash, she had to relearn how to speak. And the first word they worked on in therapy was the word mom. Think about that for a second. A mother sitting in a rehab facility praying her daughter could say the word mom again because someone made the selfish decision to drink and drive. People talk about DUI crashes like they're traffic tickets or statistics. They're not. They destroy futures and they destroy families. And the damage lasts long after the wreckage is cleared off the highway. If you drink and drive in Oklahoma, you're gambling with other people's lives. And when families get shattered because of it, McIntyre Law fights for accountability.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
I'm Noble McIntyre, and that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Craft. Police in Tulsa are investigating a shooting that left a 19-year-old man wounded early Sunday. Officers were called to an event center near 51st Street and Memorial to find the victim with a gunshot wound to the abdomen. Witnesses told investigators a fight was taking place nearby before the shooting occurred. The victim was taken to a hospital for treatment and no arrest had been announced. EMSA has issued another medical heat alert for the Oklahoma City area as extreme temperatures continue across the region. Crews responded to five suspected heat-related emergencies Sunday, transporting three people to hospitals. EMSA says it's handled over 360 heat-related calls this year, already exceeding totals from the past 2 years. Officials urge residents to stay hydrated, limit outdoor activity, and seek air conditioning when possible. Older adults and people with health conditions are especially vulnerable in these conditions, with EMSA saying heat-related illness can become serious very quickly. In Claremore, officials say a large data center project is moving forward after key agreements were finalized with developer Beale Infrastructure. The project is expected to generate more than $180 million in payments to local public entities and more than $400 million in electric revenue and sales tax over time. The project now moves into permitting and regulatory review, with construction activity expected to continue throughout the process. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at radiodirect.com/privacy. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes. Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text MAX to 400-500 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text MAX to 400-500 for a link to your exclusive offer. Text MAX to 400-500. That's MAX to 400-500.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect scorching sunshine and toasty conditions with a high of 100. Tonight will be clear with a low of 75. Tomorrow will bring mostly sunny skies and hot temperatures. Expect breezy conditions in the afternoon with a high of 99. Thursday will be sunny, breezy. breezy and hot with a high of 99 as well. Friday will be mostly sunny with toasty conditions and a high of 99 degrees. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. 79 degrees outside under sunny skies at 7:36. Oh, there goes the hotline. Hi, Freedom 96.9.
Hey, Aaron, this is the dude, man. How you doing,
dude?
Man? I'm trying to find a job. I'm looking for someone to work on my grandfather's dairy farm.
Yeah?
Man. Yeah. They have to work well with udders.
Oh, dude. Okay. Let's check out your Freedom First News now on Freedom 96.9. An Edmond couple is facing murder and child abuse charges following the death of a 2-year-old girl. Police say the child was found unresponsive on August 15th. Doctors discovered severe brain swelling and bleeding along with numerous other injuries, including retinal bleeding and possible fractures. She died 3 days later. Investigators say the mother, 22-year-old Zaria Walker, had previously taken the girl to 2 hospitals for different injuries. Her boyfriend, 26-year-old Joseph Schlebanowski, was alone with the child when she stopped breathing. The 5-year-old witness says that she told investigators that Schlebanowski had beaten the children and put the toddler's fingers in hot soup. Schlebanowski faces first-degree murder and child abuse charges. Walker, meanwhile, facing second-degree murder and enabling child abuse. A 35-year-old man is facing 2 first-degree murder charges following a deadly explosion in a marijuana extraction business in Sand Springs. The blast at Solos Extract happened on August 27th, killing Michael Newman and Stephen Scott and damaging dozens of nearby businesses. OSBI says Ryan Basham was taking over the business and did not have the required marijuana or narcotics licenses. Investigators also say a neighboring business had warned Basham about dangerously high carbon dioxide levels about 2 months before the explosion. Basham turned himself in and was released after posting $200,000 bond. A federal wildlife officer is dead after helping evacuate residents threatened by the Railroad South fire in Comanche County. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says 38-year-old David Taylor died on August 29th while going door-to-door with local emergency crews. His last contact with dispatch came while he was helping a family escape their home. Evidence recovered from the structure indicates Taylor died during the evacuation, though formal identification is still pending. Taylor is also a Navy Reserve Senior Chief Petty Officer and had previously served 5 deployments, including tours in Iraq. Officials are honoring Taylor for his courage and his selflessness in protecting others. An Oklahoma City man will spend 18 years in federal prison after pleading guilty to drug and gun charges. The Justice Department says 51-year-old D'Angelo Hawkins was pulled over last September and arrested after police discovered his license was invalid and he had an outstanding warrant. Police found cocaine, fentanyl, methamphetamine, and more than $23,000 cash inside his vehicle. Searches of 2 homes linked to Hawkins uncovered even more drugs, 6 firearms, and about 40 pounds of PCP. Hawkins has multiple prior felony drug convictions. He pleaded guilty back in March to possessing PCP with intent to distribute and being a felon in possession of firearms. He'll also serve 5 years of supervised release. Oklahoma is now one of 5 finalists to become a major hub for the nation's nuclear power expansion. Governor Kevin Stitt's administration pitched the state as a potential site for a new nuclear facility, highlighting its energy workforce, transportation network, and deep drilling expertise. The proposal also includes plans to process or bury nuclear waste, including waste shipped in from outside of Oklahoma. State officials call it a potential $50 billion economic opportunity, while opponents warn communities could resist for becoming a destination for radioactive waste. Federal officials visited Oklahoma back in August, and a decision on the winning sites could come in the next few months. And we talked a bit about this earlier in the show. I definitely want to get back into it because I think there are some genuine concerns about nuclear power here in Oklahoma, and I certainly want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in. Oklahoma, in my opinion, really has an opportunity here to become a major energy state for generations to come. Nuclear power, it can provide reliable electricity 24 hours per day. It supports the massive energy demands of AI and manufacturing. It can create high-paying jobs and potentially bring tens of billions of dollars into the state. And modern nuclear technology is dramatically safer than the technology that most of us remember from decades ago. Obviously, we should demand rigorous oversight and responsible waste management in these cases, but we shouldn't fear nuclear power and keep Oklahoma from an opportunity that could define the state's energy economy for the next 50, 100 years or better. Modern nuclear power is much, much different from the plants that most of us remember from decades ago. Reactor designs, the way they're monitored, containment systems, emergency procedures, all of those things have improved dramatically over the years. Nuclear is extremely regulated as far as industries go. A legitimate nuclear facility would face layers upon layers upon layers of federal oversight, inspections, safety requirements, and emergency planning. Again, if you want to be part of the conversation, I'd love to hear from you. If you're opposed to these things, I certainly want to hear from you. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial, 405-608-4377. Modern reactor designs have passive safety features that are in place. So some of the newer designs are engineered so that if there is an emergency, natural physical processes can help to cool the reactor without relying entirely on operators like Homer Simpson or external electricity. So in terms of the waste, I know there's a lot of concern about that. My biggest concern with the waste would be if we're bringing it in from other states, how is it being transported, and could those transports somehow be compromised? So if somebody was interested, some ne'er-do-well was interested in a terrorist attack, a great way to do that might be to knock either the train or the truck carrying these things over and have nuclear waste spilling all over our ground. In terms of the waste itself, though, I'm not overly concerned about containment. It's not released into the environment. The nuclear waste is very highly regulated. It's tracked, it's stored in engineered systems. The fact that it's radioactive doesn't necessarily mean that it's simply sitting around contaminating the community, making us all go bald and sterile. The plan would be using the drilling technology, the exact same drilling technology that Oklahoma has been using for some time now for drilling oil wells, use that to drill deep, deep holes in the ground way beneath the bedrock and bury this stuff under tons and tons and tons of rock. And there it's going to sit dormant for the rest of our days. The waste question, obviously, it does deserve scrutiny, but shouldn't automatically be a game changer, be an end of the conversation for people. Oklahoma should require, obviously, rigorous geological studies and independent oversight before accepting any waste from anybody outside of the area. We should know exactly how much we can get rid of and exactly what the plan is for getting rid of it. We should know how much of this waste we're producing and what we're going to do with it afterwards. And all those things are going to come into play long before the first brick is laid for this. In terms of energy cost and reliability, the biggest benefit here in terms of nuclear power is the reliability. Nuclear plants can produce electricity around the clock, regardless of whether the wind is blowing or the sun is shining. Even though I'm a big oil guy, live in Oklahoma, you got to be an oil guy if you live in Oklahoma. Even though I'm a big oil guy, the reality is eventually that oil is going to run out. We got tons of it right now, but nothing lasts forever. Any way that we can supplement our power usage by not using fossil fuels and using renewables, that includes solar, that includes wind, and definitely includes nuclear, because nuclear goes 24/7. Any way that we can supplement that, pull less oil from the ground, that's more oil that we'll have for generations to come, long after you and I are playing a harp up next to God in heaven. That becomes increasingly important as electricity demands explode throughout the nation, not just here in Oklahoma, but nationwide. AI data centers, manufacturing, all these are requiring much more power now. We need to get that power from someplace. Nuclear provides a huge amount of electricity from a relatively small footprint. You don't need thousands of acres of solar panels or these great big wind installations to generate the same kind of continuous power that we see from nuclear. Nuclear can complement Oklahoma's existing energy resources rather than replace them. We can have wind. We can have natural gas. We can have solar. We can have oil. We can have all of these working in conjunction to produce energy, because energy is what fuels America. It's what keeps businesses in business. It's what keeps you and I employed. And what keeps us happy at doing what it is that we're doing. Stable generation can help to reduce dependence on volatile fuel prices. Nuclear plants don't need enormous amounts of fuel every day. And the uranium represents a relatively small portion of the overall cost of producing that nuclear energy. Nuclear doesn't automatically mean you're going to see a lower power bill. That's way too strong. Construction costs can be enormous. The better argument is that reliable large-scale generation gives Oklahoma yet another tool for keeping electricity dependable and potentially controlling those long-term energy costs. But building one of these facilities takes a long time. Potential $50 billion investment is nothing short of enormous. That could transform communities and create an entirely new industry here in Oklahoma at a time when we really need to diversify. They're not just construction jobs. We're talking engineers, technicians, electricians, mechanics, security personnel, scientists, other highly skilled workers. I don't really see much of a downside to this. I'm all for it. Well, a federal judge recently struck down federal registration and application requirements for suppressors, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns in a case involving Oklahoma and several other states. Oklahoma Attorney General Gettner Drummond is now demanding the ATF explain exactly how it will stop enforcing these provisions. There's still a whole lot of confusion out there about what it is that you as a gun owner can do and what you can't do. In this week's 2A Tuesday, Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association is joining us to help us take a deep dive into this. It's 79 degrees right now and sunny at 748. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic. Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out. Freedom Traffic got a couple of construction issues to watch out for. Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly. May and Northwest Expressway. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen. Buckle up and drive careful.
Knowledge is power. Combine that with 100,000 watts of power, and you got the most important talk station in Oklahoma. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Hi there, it's Cliff Davis. Don't forget to check out our show on Freedom 96.9, Saturdays 3 to 4 p.m. and Sundays 4 to 5 p.m. The Cliff Davis Show, live entertainment talk radio coast to coast.
Foundation Churches at Western Days in Mustang. Stop by our booth, spin the prize wheel, and enter for your chance to win a flat screen TV. It's fun for the whole family, and we'd love to meet you. Find out more at foundationchurch.live.
Looking for a great deal on your next firearm? Then don't miss the used gun flash sale at H&H Shooting Sports. I'm Lee Matthews. It's going on Labor Day through Wednesday. Take 15% off all in-stock used firearms. Save big on a huge selection of used handguns, rifles, shotguns, and more. Hurry, this is a three-day only event, and when they're gone, they're gone. The Used Gun Flash Sale, going on Labor Day through Wednesday, only at H&H Shooting Sports, just off I-40 and Meridian.
Red, White, and Boots. Mustang Western Days 2026, September 11th and 12th. With events and activities for all ages. Kids can enjoy the Stampede Fun Run, Parade, Pet Show, Best Dressed Cowboy and Cowgirl Contest, Park Show, games and activities at Wild Horse Park. New this year, the Jelly Ball. Also, the Mustang Roundup Club IPRA Rodeo on both nights on the 11th and 12th, 8 o'clock. And more with the 5K Fun Run, Car Show, Chuck Wagon Roundup, Vendor Booth, Chili Cook-Off, plus live entertainment at Wild Horse Park. It's a weekend of good family entertainment. For more information, visit MustangWesternDays.com.
Uncontrolled bleeding can become life-threatening in just minutes. But the right actions can save a life. Hi, this is Major Meredith with the Oklahoma City Fire Department. Our Stop the Bleed class teaches you how to recognize life-threatening bleeding and control it using direct pressure, wound packing, and tourniquets until help arrives. This hands-on training gives everyday people the skills to act in emergency. Visit okc.gov/fire for more information on how to schedule this free training for your business, group, or organization.
Set a button and tell all your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell the world about this station in Oklahoma letting freedom ring with 100,000 watts of power. The new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com. The Drive with Lee Matthews.
Back from a little time off, and not a moment too soon, the Cat in the Hat threat. Is it real, and should it be taken seriously? More semi-driving schools are set to be shut down. Any of them in Oklahoma? With the start of the new congressional session, how are Republicans trying to force Democrats to denounce the communists infiltrating their party? And what is Bitcoin mining? And why does it need so much water this afternoon?
Lee Matthews, weekdays 4 to 7 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. Today we're going to see hot and sunny conditions with a high of 100 degrees tonight. Clear skies, going to be a nice night, low of 75 degrees on Wednesday. Mostly sunny and breezy, high of 99. Then on Thursday, sunny and hot, high again, 99 degrees. 79 degrees and sunny at 752. Well, a federal judge has struck down federal registration and application requirements for suppressors, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns in a case involving Oklahoma and several other states. Oklahoma Attorney General Gettner Drummond is now demanding that the ATF explain exactly how it plans to respond to the ruling and whether it will stop enforcing those requirements. Still a lot of confusion about what this ruling actually means for gun owners and what you can and can't legally do right now. Don Spencer, the first person to legally buy a suppressor in Oklahoma. He's with OK2A, this Oklahoma Second Amendment Association. He's joining us live trying to break it all down. Morning, Don.
Oh, this is more just clear as mud. You know, anytime you want something screwed up, you just get government involved. Here we are.
Anybody who's ever gone to the DMV knows that.
Exactly. Now, I do want to read from the ATF director's release. I'm going to read one line from this.
Shoot.
And it says, the ATF respects the court's ruling and the rule of law. Does anyone in their right mind think or agree with that? That's their intent. I still think they're doing everything they can to figure out a way to subvert this one way or the other, and they're just going to be forced to do it right. That's my opinion so far.
I think you're absolutely right. That's one of those, yeah, we're complying, and while you're seeing something shiny in their hand, the other hand is doing something totally
exactly.
different.
Exactly. So I don't. Now, it does go on to say that we are following the order and will not take enforcement action against protected parties inconsistent with that ruling. So it's more of the same. I do think we are going to see pretty soon something come out and it be relatively clear, but I just can't help but think they're going to leave something open that's going to require a lawsuit to finish clearing this up.
I think you're absolutely right.
The bottom line is, it's a gun. Leave us alone. Shouldn't even be bothering us about this. And the suppressor is, they still consider it a firearm, which you and I both know.
It's not.
I guess you could put it in your hand and kind of stab someone with it or beat with it, but it's not that kind of a weapon.
You could say bang, bang, bang.
So that needs to be cleared up too. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Well, let me ask you this. So, you bought a suppressor shortly after, within seconds of this passing. A couple days later, I went in, I got a suppressor for one of my AR-15s. In doing so, I also had to fill out some federal paperwork. So now the feds know that I've got a suppressor. What are the chances are that at some point I'm going to get a knock on my door from a couple of guys wearing dark suits saying, hey, we now know that you've got this illegal, quote-unquote, firearm, and we're taking it back?
Well, I'm a member of a self-defense law group that, in fact, it's U.S. Law Shield, and there's many other groups that specifically state if you get that knock on your door, they are your attorney. You don't talk to them. You just say, here's my attorney, talk to them. That's your insulator for right now. Also, these FFLs can use the same place because they have an FFL extension and can the exact same thing that they can be represented by an attorney if the ATF comes in. I highly, strongly recommend something along those lines. So, which, by the way, my attorney was standing next to me when I made that purchase.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're making sure we're on the up and up here. But also, I the umbrella, Oklahoma's under this umbrella. If you're a GOA member, if you're a member of Silencer Co. or the Second Amendment Foundation, that you are under the umbrella of protection that this falls under. And it's just a matter of time. The 14th Amendment will kick in, and it's going to apply to all citizens across the country.
But just having an attorney, as you know, won't stop me from getting arrested, won't stop them from executing a search warrant on my house, and won't stop them from seizing what they find inside my house.
Nothing can stop an illegal action by the government if they decide to break the law.
So can I expect that? I agree. But can I expect that knock on the door? I mean, lawyers aside, can I expect that knock on the door because I have filled out this federal firearms paperwork and now I've got a suppressor in my house?
Under the new ruling, you should not have to be filling out any other additional paperwork. You should just fill out a regular, like you're buying a 4473, and that's it. So if you're doing like Don Spencer and you have your valid handgun license, that is your background check. The federal government does not know you have that unless there becomes an issue with that item.
It's a very good point.
In theory. You and I both know they got ways of figuring crap out.
Absolutely.
But in theory.
What does this mean now for short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns?
Well, I hate to say this. It's the same thing. We've waited 92 years. We just got to wait another month and a half. Let's just be patient and see how this rolls out. But the fact is, there's nowhere in the Second Amendment does it say the length of the gun should be regulated by the government, the length of the barrel, or the stock on the gun should be regulated by the government. So you're going to continue to see these things chiseled away and move away. But the fact is, it's none of their business. As long as you're not using that weapon in a crime, it is none of their business. Period.
Well, you're right in theory, but in practice, they've been doing it for 92 years and gotten away with it.
Right. And here's the second part of this. We're at the part of this where we can own it, just basically because you guys have abused us for the 92 years. The courts have said you've abused us. The Bureau, the decision in 2022 says you're abusing us, and you're continuing to do this. And now we're seeing the Department of Justice actually come down on our side, pushing on this. I think we got to go ahead and own this at some point. It's ours, and leave us alone. I that's where we're at. And it should just become Alcohol and Tobacco Agency.
And even then, stop regulating our booze and our smokes, for crying out loud.
Right. It's one thing at a time, you know, Aaron. You don't get to wipe the slate clean completely at once. But I feel the most confidence I have felt in getting our rights back in quite some time. And we're actually people who hated Trump in his first term because he did the bump stock ban, has now reversed everything. And he's just saying we have a Second Amendment agency that's making sure that this stuff is going, is getting cleaned up. And I even see at some point, auto machine guns kind of falling under the same thing at some point.
Love to see it. Don Spencer, thanks for joining us this morning. Coming up later on, Brian Kilmeade at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson at 11 o'clock, Dana Lash coming up at 2 o'clock, Lee Matthews with a drive at 4 o'clock. Thank you for joining us on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.